Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We talk now about the ruling of the Imam if he is a handicap or unable to stand. So the Prophet tells us alayhi salatu wasalam clearly that if he prays standing up, you should all pray standing up, but if he prays sitting down, you must all pray sitting down. And this caused the scholars to differ as usual. And they have a lot of rules and regulations and verdicts and rulings on this issue. The most authentic opinion is, if the Imam begins his prayer sitting down, all of those behind him must sit down and pray sitting down, although they are capable of standing. Why? Because the hadith is crystal clear. If he is praying sitting down, you all must sit down. And this has been done by the companions in so many occasions, especially when the Prophet was ill alayhi salatu wasalam. In some incidents, he fell off his ride and injured his ankle and could not stand up. So he used to lead the prayer sitting down. And once they stood up, he pointed to them to sit down. And they immediately sat down and he told them that if your Imam is sitting down, you should sit down. Why? Because the Imam is made to be followed. And that is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam shows us the discipline in Islam. Not only that, it shows us the humbleness. Now imagine if I'm the Imam and I'm sitting down and everybody is standing up. How would I feel? I would feel some pride and arrogance in me. And that is why the Prophet says in an authentic hadith, whoever is sitting and desiring and wishing that all the people stand up for him, may he choose his seat in hellfire. So it's not part of the sunnah at all to sit and people standing, serving you, and you want this and you wish to see this because this is a sign of arrogance, of kibr. And this makes the person having these feelings go to hell. So the Prophet is telling them to sit down, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he did this with them, and they prayed sitting down in a number of occasions. Scholars say, if the Imam started the prayer standing up, and then something happened and he had to sit down, the people praying behind him continue to pray standing up. Why? Because the initiation of the prayer was in the standing position, so they should continue. Evidence? The evidence is in the last or the final days of the Prophet's life, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Bakr started leading the prayer. And while in the first rak'ah, the Prophet felt a little bit better. So he was dragged into the masjid by Al-Abbas and Ali, may Allah be pleased with them, and was to be in the position of the Imam with Abu Bakr praying to his right. So the Prophet sat down and Abu Bakr sat to his right, and Abu Bakr went back a little bit. So the Prophet continued the prayer as the Imam, but he was what? Sitting down. And they were all standing up, and he did not tell them to sit down because they started the prayer following Abu Bakr and he was standing up, so they continued this prayer. And the Prophet used to pray, and Abu Bakr used to follow him, and the people followed Abu Bakr. By this, all the evidences are joined and combined, and they go in one line. Rather than saying, no, you don't do this, or yes, you have to do that. This is the way of a proper student of knowledge, that he gathers all the hadiths, and he makes sure that they all fit and fall into the same line. I think that this is all we have regarding this issue. Of course, before we take your questions, from this hadith, we learn the importance of obedience and of following the Imam, not only in Salat, but also in our normal daily lives. If Allah appointed someone to be our leader, to be our Imam, to be our ruler, it is simple to say that Islam instructs us to obey him. And Islam instructs us to follow him, as long as he's not instructing us to do sin. Because there is no obedience to any creature if he's ordering us to disobey the Creator Azza wa Jal. However, without this discipline, without this obedience, there will be chaos. And that is why even if the ruler is an aggressor, even if he's a tyrant, as long as he's Muslim and he prays, we have to obey him. If he's not Muslim, we have to obey him within the limits, providing that we do not have the capability to overthrow him. But if overthrowing him means killing of people and bloodshed and destruction in the country, Islam tells you stop. You're not ready yet. And the pros and the cons are far greater than the pros. We take your questions in the remaining time. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Sheikh, I had two questions regarding the invitation. For example, at a home, if the invitation for wedding comes and the family consists of four people, okay, and two people go and attend the invitation, is it okay? And in my life, I had to face a situation where it was made mandatory for me to attend a program, and at the same time I had an invitation for the wedding. So what was better for me, to attend the program or go to the wedding?
A program?
And TV program? Opportunity for dawah.
Okay. First of all, if an invitation is for the whole family and not to a particular member of the family, you're not obliged. I'm talking about individuals. So if someone says, your family is welcome. Now, he did not designate a particular person, so this is an open invitation. But if he says, Sa'ad and Sa'id and Sa'ud, they're all invited, they have to all come because they've been designated. Now, if you have other obligation, if it is as important, then you have to attend the first. If it's a program, da'wah program, and a wedding, then in this case, you have to seek the permission of the host. Ask him that, please let me free and give me the permission to attend. If he doesn't, you have to attend. Because the da'wah program is not something that is a life or death issue. And his invitation is mandatory for you to answer. The question might be that if you have two invitations to weddings, so who do you attend the first? You attend the first one that came to you. So if I have two conflicting on the same day, which one came first? I don't think that they all came at the same time. One of them came a week prior or a few days or a few hours, and you attend the first, and Allah knows best. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Sheikh, my question is that should Ameen be said with the Imam or after the Imam?
It's a good question. It's an issue of dispute. When to say Ameen? With the Imam or after the Imam? And the most authentic opinion is that after the Imam finishes Ameen, we say Ameen. Because the Hadith says, فَإِذَا أَمَّنَ فَأَمِّنُوا. And if he says Ameen, you say Ameen. It's like, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا. Once you want to pray, then you go and perform wudu. So scholars say that you do Ameen after he finishes. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. You say Ameen with the Imam. So once he says ولا الضالين, you all both say Ameen and not wait. Some scholars say you have to wait after he says Ameen and then you say Ameen. But this is not the authentic opinion of scholars. And I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. So until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.